This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Record-setting heat is blanketing much of the country on this holiday weekend. CBS's Bradley Blackburn has the latest.
Saturday, Sacramento hit 109 degrees. In the Bay Area, water guns, fans,
coco, vanilla,
and ice cream were some help in rare 100-degree heat. In L.A., firefighters are dealing with heat exhaustion calls.
So people are used to the heat, so they go out for a hike or for a run, realize that it's hotter than they're expecting, and then they just didn't have enough water on board.
While AAA predicts record numbers of Americans will travel this holiday weekend, many will not.
I'm Jim Krasulin, Gallup Police, Ohio. With the summer travel season now in high gear, many Americans have decided to stay put, given gas prices and inflation.
At these prices, it's difficult to go anywhere, really.
Basically, driving is only need-to-be basis, you know, not doing anything extra.
In Baltimore, police say two people have been killed in a mass shooting at a block party. 28 others were injured. Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott says a suspect or suspects are still at large.
I want those who are responsible to hear me very clearly. We will not stop until we find you, and we will find you.
Acting Baltimore Police Commissioner Richard Worley is asking for the public's help.
This is an extensive crime scene. Our detectives are going to be here quite a while. If anyone saw anything or knows anything, please call 911 or call local Metro Crime Stoppers.
All of the victims are adults. Rioting continues over the police shooting death of a 17-year-old in France, but the Interior Minister, through an interpreter, says there's no justification for the riots because the officer involved is in custody.
Was there impunity for this policeman? No. He was, on the same day, put into custody, put under formal investigation. And he is today in jail.
An outspoken Rwandan government critic is speaking out in his first public message since he was released from jail.
Unfortunately, today, 61 years later, Rwandans are still not free. Rwandans are prisoners inside their own country.
He became internationally renowned as the Hotel Rwanda hero. Thousands of Twitter users are reporting problems accessing the site after the company's CEO put a limit on how many tweets people can read.
Elon Musk isn't just changing Twitter because he is an abrasive personality, although he is. It's also about the future of how the internet works and how companies are going to be able to make money there.
That's CBS News tech contributor Ian Scherr. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new study shows creative activities are a literal lifesaver for young people dealing with feelings of stress, depression, and anxiety. As Catherine Carley reports, the same goes for kids in marginalized groups.
The Adobe Foundation and National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI, found more than 60% of young people surveyed reported an improved sense of confidence through painting, writing, or any form of creative expression. NAMI's Frederick Miggins says improving access to creative activities could help turn the tide on a youth mental health crisis.
Creative expression is something that just about anyone can engage in person or online. This makes it one of the most accessible ways for people to invest in supporting their own mental well-being.
Megan says creative expression is not a substitute for professional mental health treatment, but rather an important tool in managing one's overall well-being and sense of purpose. The survey found younger people were more likely than the general population to say creative expression strengthened their sense of identity or belonging in a community. LGBTQ plus respondents were more likely than heterosexual respondents to say that creative activities improved their mental health and boosted their sense of community. Megan says at a time when so many LGBTQ plus youth feel targeted, online influencers are helping inspire young people to get creative themselves.
You know, at a time where a lot of the social media landscape can feel unwelcoming or antagonistic to people with queer identities, it's a great reminder that there's beauty and support out there.
Megan says trans kids in particular revealed even greater mental health benefits from creative expression. He says it's important for people struggling with mental illness to realize they're not alone and that creative activities can also be done with a family member or friend. I'm Catherine Carley.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible.
Of today's Raised in Wisco. Welcome to the Fishbowl, everybody. I'm Joel Clayfish, alongside my co-host, Danielle Fairman. You're listening to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM, WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw. We're going to get to that. I'm fired up, Danielle.
You're fired up?
Do you know why?
Because of the Canadian wildfires?
No. No, but I guess if you were going along a line of something that would make sense, the Canada wildfires would make sense. You know, it was really, here's the crazy thing. My wife spent some time in China, and back, you know, 2 days ago, it was the worst it was. Waukesha County, Jefferson County, the southeast Wisconsin, was the worst place in the world.
In the world.
For air quality at the time. And she kind of chuckled, and I said, what is funny about that? And she said, this is what it's like every day in China.
Every day?
Every single day in China. So the smog that's coming out of the manufacturing there and that type of thing. So I do find, how is that relevant? I do find it kind of funny when people think that we are so in control of global warming or, you know, that we can have some kind of impact on it. And in reality, in the United States, we are blessed to have very good air quality for the vast majority of the time. And now we're dealing with it. And yes, the smoke in the air, I've noticed that I've been a little more stuffed up, a little less likely to sleep well at night because of it. But that aside, I am super, super excited because I am on a national television show, on two national television shows that debuted this last week. The Spirit of the Wild on the Pursuit Channel, on Ted Nugent's show, The Spirit of the Wild. I do four cooking segments during this season. You can check that out on Pursuit Up, which is an app. Pursuit Up, it's a free app. And what's even more exciting to me, what's even
more
super exciting,
exciting than
Chad Belding, the national host of The Foul Life, was in town last week. As you know, he was on our show with us last week. But that the new episodes of season 15 of The Foul Life just came out on the Outdoor Channel. You can check those out and My Outdoor TV if you get that app. So right now, two national television shows out that have got come out that have cooking, provider style cooking, you know, taking food from the field to the table, which is one of the most exciting things in my life. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, Civic Media is expanding their footprint in Wisconsin. I think Anastasia, how many do we have now? Like 13 stations throughout Wisconsin?
That's a great question. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, it's something that I don't know either, but it's something like 13 stations, and we're expanding to 18 stations throughout the state of Wisconsin. So
everybody
gets to hear the voice and participate in Raised in Wisco. So if you're into the silent sports, that I learned recently, that's what they call people in kayaks.
Silent sports?
The silent sports.
How? Well, I guess you're not talking to anybody out
there. If you're climbing a mountain or you're in a kayak or you're hiking a trail, I guess there's no, unless you're hiking while you're hunting, and then there's a bang when you do that. But I guess hunting's kind of a silent sport, isn't it?
Especially if you're deer hunting, you can't really chit-chat a whole bunch
no,
of
you don't chit chat a lot. But that's why I love waterfowl hunting, because you can talk to your buddies while you're doing it. You can sit in the blind and yammer. Do you talk?
Fishing?
You talk a lot. You
do
probably
I?
Talk a lot when you're in the blind, don't you?
Waterfowl hunting. I have my moments. I have my moments.
Yeah.
There's some days I would like to go out there and just not say a word and just listen.
You know, one of the best hunts I ever had in my life was when we were hunting with John Whitmore in the fog that day.
That I was just talking about that because that picture showed up, and it was that was the best, minus North Dakota, because I had a couple of good experiences in North Dakota. But with that, with the fog coming in, you can hear them, but you can't see them.
We had
all
fog.
Of a sudden, their feet just locked up, and bam,
That was so great. I mean, we had a fog ceiling that was down to probably about 20 feet above our heads. And so we kept calling to them, and they were going to the calls, not the decoys, because they couldn't see them. And then all of a sudden, we saw their feet 20 yards up, and oh, my gosh, that was awesome. And I think we got our limit that day, too, and that was super exciting. But so I'm really excited because it is like a media storm of Wisconsin outdoors going on in the world right now. And I have the opportunity, and you have the opportunity. You met with Chad and the Fowl Life guys the other day. And just the network and the people who are into the hunting sports and waterfowl hunting, they're just all such good-hearted people.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a community. Like, everybody has to get into it. Everybody just loves each other. Everyone's equal. We're just all
it's fantastic hunting. And you know, my thing is taking new hunters. I love getting people to experience the outdoors and hunting for the first time. There's nothing like the look on someone's face when they harvest their first animal or just get out there and see their first sunrise from the woods. That's an incredible feeling as well. And one of the other reasons I'm so excited, it's like a firestorm of excitement. Now, you know, I'm going to go back to your Canada Wildfire Pond. It's a firestorm of excitement to me because I'm in the middle. For me, life is about going on hunting trips, and you work in the middle, and you work so that you can enjoy life, right? Mm-hmm. You don't live life to work. You live.
I have a life. I work to have a life. I don't have a life to work.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a very good way of putting it. And that's one of the coolest things that in my life that I'm so honored to be able to do is that I love my work so much. You know, we got the Kennedy clan out in Oconomowoc listening to us. And for me, life is about working to be able to share what we do in the outdoors with the people I work with. We share it with the disabled community, which I work heavily with. We had our outdoor adventure series at Buck Rub last week, which was phenomenal. Taking people to Buck Rub Archery, a big thank you to Kaz. He was amazing. We had four people who had never shot a vertical bow in their life, and they were shooting bows and hitting bullseyes by the end of a couple of hours, having the time of their lives. So that's how I get to – I'm always trying to figure out a way to incorporate what I love to do in the outdoors into my job. And that's what makes it so cool. So all the time I'm either on a hunting trip and it's partially for my job, or I'm planning a hunting trip at that. You know. So I'm always doing one of the two things. And one of the greatest waterfowl hunting experience I had with my buddy, Jerry Valdez, who he's actually a government affairs guy out in Texas. So whenever I get to go visit him out in visit my daughter out in Texas, I try to hook up with Jerry Valdez. I was on the phone with him on the way here. And, you know, we were talking about it, and we've got our guests. I'm just kind of holding our guests at bay because they have such exciting stuff this week. I was so jacked about this week because there's such exciting stuff to talk about. But Jerry Valdez and I were talking about, and our guests were talking about how many species there are in Texas to hunt that are now fair game wild species. They were brought over at some point. You've got owdad, various varieties of sheep and rams and nilgai. And if you don't know what that is, look it up, NILGAI. They are like this massive animal from India that has proliferated throughout Texas. And if you know, I preach this all the time. If you have not taken the opportunity to get up and go somewhere and hunt, Texas is a really great place. If you want to try kind of some maybe exotic-ish hunting, or you don't want to go that far, you don't want to spend that much money, Texas is the answer. And I'm just so excited because I'm trying to talk Jerry Valdez. We hunt together, and he's just a fantastic dude, and he's a great guy to hang out with. So I'm kind of trying to talk him into meeting me out there. Then I can convince my wife and kids that we should go to visit my daughter at Baylor and stay on a hunting ranch.
And kicker.
Kicker. Oh, we get to stay on a hunting ranch and do cooking segments for the provider for the Fall Life for Ted Nugent show. I mean, oh, it all comes together so nicely.
So does.
Oh, That was
you
mouth.
Just gotta play the card of like you get to have great food and sit by the fire and enjoy the skylight.
Oh, it's the best. And that and everything is big in Texas, I'm telling you. Do you like my hat today? Can you read it?
It says
Trailer Park Rich.
Trailer Park Rich, and it has Florida on it.
I came in and Dom and Crute were in here from the Devil's Advocate, and they're dear friends of mine, and they got a kick out of the hat. It says Trailer Park Rich, and I like the saying Trailer Park Rich because I think it absolutely encompasses what it's like kind of to be into the outdoors and hunting, and I kind of am a self-proclaimed redneck, and I'm okay with that. But what that means is you don't have to be real wealthy to enjoy life.
You do not.
You can be trailer park rich, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with that, and that means even if I'm going down and hunting gators out of my single wide in Catfish Creek, Yeehaw Junction, Florida, I'm trailer park rich, and there's not a happier person on this planet than me when I'm doing it. So I just think, I mean, I got a friend who makes the Trailer Park Rich clothing down in Florida, and it just really summarizes how I think everybody should look at life. Whatever position you're in, you can have richness in your life, and that's just phenomenal.
You can still be happy outdoors and hunting.
Holy cow, I just about talked off the whole first segment. We got 3 minutes left. I don't even know if I'm going to get to introduce our guest. What did you do this week? Did you have a busy week?
What did I do week? This week? I worked all week in this wonderful smoke of ours. But other than that, I got a new kayak and went out fishing.
Oh, you are a silent sportsman.
I am a silent sportsman. Even though you think I love to talk, I also love not saying a word. I don't even listen to the radio when I'm in the vehicle. Not happening.
Really?
Yeah.
I think, do one of our guests have their phone stinger on? Some phone keeps dinging, or I'm hearing
yeah,
it
I
in
keep
my
hearing that
headphones.
Too.
I'm hearing it in my headphones. I don't know. Maybe that's just saying, hey, that's how many seconds to break or something. You know what? I say that too. And I've never been a person in my life accused of not saying enough. But I do still enjoy the time in the deer stand or mm-hmm. in the blind or stalking, South Africa and being quiet, because something that I heard growing up, and my dad used to tease me a little bit about it, like you learn a lot more when your mouth is shut and your ears are open. And
sure
that's
do.
A fact.
You sure do.
So I think that is good advice. And there are very few times that are more quintessentially healing on the soul than when you're sitting out in a blind. I tell you what's crazy about summer in Wisconsin. Today's really like one of the first extremely hot, humid days we've had.
It was a pretty nasty day.
Yeah.
Working outside in this was not convenient.
No, I bet it wasn't. And then plus you didn't have super great air quality. Danielle, if you don't know, is a heavy equipment operator by night. That would be strange. By day. And then she is a hunting phenom. During the rest of the time. Would you call yourself a phenom?
I don't even know what the word phenom means.
Well, it's short for phenomenal. You're a phenomenal hunter. Anastasia's
yes,
nodding.
I shall use that. That's how I'm going to describe
yes,
myself.
You're a hunting phenom from now on. I'm going to tell you what we have today. We've got John Miller and Ben Leskowski, who traveled 89 hours into the furthest reaches of Russia to hunt brown bears, otherwise known to the layman as grizzly bears. And their adventure almost killed both of them, which is why I'm not sure that it's something that's ever going to be for me.
So on the three
we'll
planes,
see.
One train ride, and a helicopter ride?
I mean,
ride?
Planes, trains, right. Automobiles, snowmobiles. But for some reason, this story's also got a pound of raw bacon in it. We're going to get to that, too. You're listening to Raised in Wisconsin, 540 AM, WAUK, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today, 855-954-1186.
All insurance, Gingras Thompson & Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government
is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done,
over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Partied like a Russian, partied like Russians, and probably nearly didn't come back from the USSR, the former USSR. John Miller and Ben Leskowski. You know, last time we talked, you guys were planning this trip, and I was literally like worried, like, oh, I'll say goodbye to him. Might be the last time you see him.
Yeah, this whole plane, train, and helicopter ride will kind of divert me. What?
Don't forget the bus.
So
what,
don't.
What drove you guys into that?
Yeah, don't. I mean, don't forget this. This is a trip that takes 89 hours over the course of how many days?
Three days.
Three days. 89 hours. Take me through what, first of all, what in the hell makes you think that you should do this in the first place?
Yeah.
And secondly,
yes.
What's it like as you're on your way there getting ready to hunt grizzly bears in Russia?
I don't think the trip out was as bad as the trip coming home, because we knew what we were getting ourselves into on the way back, but.
Oh yeah, you're excited, ready for.
So tell me how does the trip go? Give me a summary of how that trip goes to get there in the first place and where you're going.
So we flew out of Chicago O'Hare to Istanbul, Turkey.
It's Istanbul, not Constantinople.
Yep. And so then we laid over there for a little while, and then we jump on a plane to Moscow. And directly as soon as we get off the plane, we go across town to another airport.
Stop. Stop. I don't think you just go to Russia, though. I mean, you don't just like, show up with your passport in Russia, do you?
No, you got to get a Russian visa.
Okay.
You can apply for like a shorter one, or you can get a year one, or you can get a 3-year one. But that
so
takes
when
a
you go
bit.
To Russia, are you stopped? Is there like, you know, former KGB dudes around?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Talking to you? Do they talk to you? What do they ask?
Yeah, we have a short interview. They ask just some simple questions just to make sure who you are, you know, with the visa that you have.
But so they're asking you. They've researched you.
They know about you. Yeah.
They know about you.
Yeah.
Is that freaky?
I would have been terrified. Well, about
I was
that.
Fine.
I don't think I would get into Russia, having worked in the government for 14 years, 15, 16
yeah,
years.
Yeah, you might not get a visa.
I mean, for real.
For real? Come on. You'll
Mr. Clayfish, we would like to know what are your motives.
Sit down here.
What are your motives as you visit Russia?
Don't move.
So did that happen? Were they asking what your motives were there and why you were going to be in Russia? Or
yeah, pretty much.
You know, did they ask you about like, hey, you know, was it fairly pleasant?
Yeah, it was fairly pleasant. I mean, the weirdest thing was they asked how we felt about the war in Ukraine and stuff like that. And
that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I'd want to answer that question to
Russian
folks.
Yeah, I feel like
folks.
It's all, either way your answer is going to be a wrong answer.
No, it's not. You just got to say you love Russia, and then that's all they want to hear.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Yeah.
So that's what everybody said.
I was in Russia when it was still the Soviet Union, and I have to say the people that I met there were some of the kindest people I've ever met. And the beluga caviar was one of the best tasting things I've ever eaten in my life. Okay, so you're in Moscow. Then what's your next step? Then what?
Well, we overnighted in Moscow.
Hold on. This is Ben Laskowski. We're trading mics back here. I got to talk to Crew. We need another mic in this studio. We need four mics. All right, so Ben, you get to Moscow, then what?
Okay, well, we got to Moscow from Istanbul, and we actually ran around. We were in a Russian shopping mall. We had to exchange money.
What do they have in a Russian shopping mall?
It was a lot like America.
Really? I mean, Levi's? And
Yep. Food, Levi's. It was, we went to...
Do they have McBorscht at McDonald's?
We saw Burger King.
Okay.
We saw Burger King there.
All right.
But anyways, so we got a whole bunch of foreign currency exchange for the guys that were following us. We went with 9 of us. And then we got back to the hotel, and we spent the night in the hotel. And in the morning, we got up, and we got back to the airport, a different airport, and flew, what do they call that, when you're in country?
Domestic
flight, yeah.
So that, so when you get to Moscow, that's already your second day, right?
Yeah.
On the road.
Well, yeah, when we're leaving it, it's our second day. And we were on the far western side of Russia, and we were flying to the far eastern side of Russia. So it was over a 9-hour plane ride, and we went through 9 time zones in that time.
Oh, yeah. Holy
cow. So I mean, it kind of screws you up.
9 time zones in Russia alone.
Yes. So then,
think of the vastness of that land.
Yes, exactly. I mean, people, you cannot fathom the size of it. I mean, it's like two of the United States, really. I mean, you can get from New York to L.A. in 4 hours, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it's like more than two. Yeah,
two United States is next to each other. Yeah.
So basically, as soon as we landed at Petroplavik, I might butcher the name a little bit, but that's what I call it. we got off the plane, went through like customs, got interviewed there again, and got on a bus for an 8.5-hour bus ride up into the mountains.
On a gravel road.
Yeah, and most of it was a gravel road. It was beautiful scenery, you know.
Okay.
We stopped at one little store, got some liquor, some food, some, you know, drinks and stuff for camp. And then we got to a really cool hotel, motel, whatever you want to call it, in a little town called Esso. I'd be guessing and saying maybe it was 2,000 people in town, 1,000 people in town. It was pretty small.
Now, what about your luggage at this point? How much luggage did you pack, and was it with you the whole entire time? Like, I would be terrified about that. I feel you would need a lot of clothes, a lot of layers.
Not really.
That's
a lot
of luggage.
It was not as cold as you think. I mean, it was like deer hunting in Wisconsin. It was in the high 40s during the day, low 20s when we went out in the morning. Most days were sunny and warm. You know,
okay.
So I mean,
so Petroplavik to Esso, and then Esso on another bus.
No, Esso. Then we took a helicopter to camp.
Okay, now you're on a helicopter. So this is day 3 or 4, John?
Well, it's the third day.
Yeah,
really.
Maybe the third day. Yeah.
Okay. Right. So then you get to Esso. Have you eaten at this point? Are you eating along the route?
Yeah, we're eating.
What are you eating?
Well, I had the best rotisserie chicken I ever had in Russia, so I got I got to get the recipe for that. But other than that, not so good.
Will there be a little language barrier when you're trying to get the recipe? Is my real question.
Yeah, pretty much a guarantee. Yeah.
Also, it's a cat or something. Wait, this isn't right.
Well, it did look like a cat, but they said it was chicken. But it was good.
But you were so hungry by that point, it probably was fine.
It was wonderful.
I mean, I remember the food in Russia as being intriguing, very bland.
Yes.
But I really liked, like, the caviar. I mean, the caviar, the salmon roe, and the beluga caviar, which is the black caviar from sturgeon. It's phenomenal. Okay, we haven't even got to camp yet, and half the show's gone. So I can tell you this show's going to move fast because this is a fascinating topic. We're talking to John and Ben Laskowski. We'll be right back. I'm raised in Wisco. See you in a minute.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Record-setting heat is blanketing much of the country on this holiday weekend. This woman is in San Francisco.
I haven't been in 100 degrees in a long time.
A heat dome is covering Texas and moving east. A mass shooting at a block party in Baltimore.
Total of 30 victims. 28 of them are non-fatal at this point. 3 are critical, and 2 have been pronounced deceased.
Acting Baltimore Police Commissioner Richard Worley says police are still looking for the suspect or suspects. He became internationally renowned as the Hotel Rwanda hero, and now he's making his first public remarks since his most recent release from jail.
First, I want to thank God, my wife, and my family. I would also like to thank each and everyone who supported me.
The U.S. helped to orchestrate the release of the outspoken Rwandan government critic. He spent 900 days behind bars. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks, 855-954-1186. 954-1186. When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today, 855-954-1186. All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Walks,
GTWLawyers.com. People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
It feels like they're trying to pit the teachers against the parents, and all of us can come together to say, look, stop trying to, you know, divide and conquer and work with us. And they're still trying to hide and say, well, the JFC cut it. There's nothing I can do. Yes, there is. You can vote for the amendment to continue child care counts.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Tap.
The spirit of the woods is like an
You can't go wrong with a little Uncle Ted song, Fred Bear. I talked earlier about Kaz at Buck Rub, who actually hunted with Fred Bear. The name of this song, Fred Bear by Ted Nugent. Actually had the honor and privilege of hunting with Fred Bear at one point. You're listening to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAUK 101 FM The Shaw. And very apropos that we had Fred Bear bringing us back from the commercial, because we've got John Miller and Ben Leskowski here, who just got back from their bear hunt in Russia. And it is such, I'm telling you, you can sit and listen to stories from this trip for hours. We're halfway through the show and we've only got them through Petroplavik to Esso, Russia. And one of the things I want to talk about, and I want to see if you notice this, people think of Russia. When you say Russia, they think of Moscow, the Kremlin, the big hats, you know, the big fur hats, babushkas, Kazakhstan, maybe. But if you realize the vast giganticness of Russia. It's so multicultural. And the area of Russia you were going to is right, it's really part of Asia. It's right above, you know, the Japanese islands and above China. And so the was it cool? Was it neat to see the variety of culture and cultural influences? Because that's something that's always fascinating to me, is experiencing different cultures. And I don't think most people who talk about Russia realize how multicultural Russia is and how different it is from one end of it to the other.
To answer that question, it was a really cool experience. I mean, obviously everybody spoke Russian, but especially once we got to Essel, you started seeing, you know, like you said, some of the Asian type, you know, Eskimo type Inuit people. You know, there's still the Russian people there too, but you know, the ethnicity changed a little bit, but everybody still speaks Russian. And when we got into camp, half of our guides were Inuits and half of them were Russians. You know, I mean, of, you know, the European descent Russians, they were all Russians, but like I said, it was a very cool experience. I mean, it was nothing like I expected. But nothing in a negative way either. You know?
What were you expecting?
Well, I guess I was expecting a little bit more coldness, maybe a little more difficulty, but I was prepared for that. But I mean, we had none of that. It was a very organized trip by the outfitter. I mean, we had people riding along with us, making sure all the paperwork was right and, you know, helping us through all the checkpoints and stuff. You know, I mean, it was very, very non-stressful.
It was
that
smoother
way
than you thought it might
right,
be.
Right.
John, you were one of the interesting things. Set the stage for me about when you're hunting and the amount of snow in this area, because this blows my mind.
Yeah, quite a bit of snow. So it's basically on the Bering Sea. So there was probably 15 to 17 feet of snow maybe in some of the mountains. And I
15
was
to, so basically you're seeing small Christmas trees on top of 17 feet of snow, and you're really seeing a 20-foot tree, a 20-foot pine tree, and you're just seeing the top of it.
Correct, correct. Yeah, I'm like, whoa, who planted all these seedlings here? And actually, it's the top of the tree. So when it warmed up and you didn't have, like, snowshoes on or something like that, you'd just be walking, and all of a sudden, you're down to your armpits. And it's like, okay.
And then you're still on 10 feet of snow below your
Absolutely.
Feet.
You got to hope you hit a branch. Otherwise,
what happens if you were to break through the crust on the top of that snow and sink 20 feet in snow?
Well, there's so many trees that I think the trees save you from going
so
all the way
down. So you're literally
down.
Counting on trees to not be completely under snow.
Yeah,
20
correct,
feet
correct.
Under snow. Yeah. I don't, man. And then you go hunting on snowmobiles to find the bears.
Correct.
You go to try to find the bears on snowmobiles. So I'm a bad passenger. I'm filled with anxiety when I'm a passenger to begin with. And then you were telling me they kind of go like a bat out of hell on these snowmobiles. So you got all your hunting gear on, you're dressed for the weather, and you get on the back of a snowmobile, right?
Correct.
And then what happens?
You just ride around and looking for fresh tracks. And if they come across something that looks fresh to them, you just start following them.
But you're on the back of a snowmobile on top of 20 feet of snow.
Yeah, in a sled. They have a sled that they tow behind. And actually, they're
so
quite comfortable.
So you're sitting in the sled?
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Behind.
Behind it.
Like we used to, I mean, like I would get towed around when I was a kid behind a snowmobile.
Like a dog sled, but they tow it behind a snowmobile. And basically got you sitting on a car seat and you're strapped in and you got your goggles and your ski mask on.
Like
and all.
A booster seat?
Yeah. Something like that. A giant booster seat.
And a big booster seat in
with little
sled.
Pom-poms hanging off the side.
It really wasn't. It really wasn't too bad.
Is there like a little child on board sign on the snowmobile?
I put that in the back of my
mind. No, it wasn't too bad. But so you get out there, you end up, you know, harvesting. So you catch up to where the bears are, and you kind of put the stalk on them, and you were able to you shot a bear at the top of a mountain,
correct?
Or top of a snowdrift.
Yeah, it was pretty much a mountain. Yeah.
So you're at the top of you're at the bottom of the mountain, and you shoot the bear at the top of the mountain. Then what happened? Take the listeners through this story.
So my two guides on their snowmobiles thought they would try to drive up there, and one was like 64, I think. And
now,
the other...
you can't understand a word they're saying, and they can't understand a word you're saying, correct?
No, there's no. They understand anything. Nothing.
They don't? You're
nothing.
With them.
They know like stop or they know shoot, but they and gun, but they don't know anything, and you don't know what they're saying. But anyways, I figured out they were going to try to make a run at the spare, and it was probably at like a 50 or 60 degree angle up. And he got probably 3/4 of the way over, and then both snowmobiles flipped over backwards.
Flipped over backwards?
Oh, backwards.
Oh, were you on the snowmobile?
No, I was at the bottom.
So you're watching your guides, the experts in this.
Right.
Like going up a sheer cliff of snow and God knows what in the way, and maybe trees, and they both flip backwards over their...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you cold at this point?
I'm not cold. I mean, I was just... I was full of adrenaline then. It was warm, and they just called me up and said, come on, waved me up to help. And I took after the mountain. But, walking in 10 feet of snow or 12 feet of snow and you break through is pretty tough. But
so how did they get these sleds, these snowmobiles, these snow machines? Did they get them up the face of this cliff?
They got them about 3/4 of the way up before they flipped over.
Then what?
Well, then we dug them out, and we got them pointing in the right direction down the hill. And we actually climbed up to the bear and put a rope on it to tow it down. And on the way down, it got hung up on something.
The bear.
The bear got hung up something.
So you're on the snowmobile.
Right. Behind the guide on the snowmobile, towing the bear down a 60 probably degree mountain.
So he's going down the mountain sheer.
Uncontrollably.
And a 1,000-pound bear is trailing you by rope.
Correct.
That sounds like there are many opportunities for something to go drastically
wrong. Oh, it did, yeah. So on the way down, we hung up on a stump or something, or the top of a tree or whatever. I'm not real sure we hung up on. And the bear got hung up, and we went flying.
So the bear, like a bungee cord at its limit, all of a sudden it stops. The sled's going 30 miles an hour. It stops. And you guys go rear end over tea kettle.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, he flew through the windshield and pulled that off and part of the hood off. And ripped his pants off. So now we got a half naked Russian on the side of the mountain.
What?
So I'm six. What? You know, I'm 6 foot and 230 pounds, and I landed on top of him. Unfortunately,
and you're out in the wilderness with a half naked Russian.
Come here. Let's keep warm.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like a beginning of a horrible joke. So, Danielle, are you gonna be all right? Danielle, you're starting to tear up over
that's
there.
That's really funny.
Well, it's funny now.
It wasn't so funny at the time.
I bet it wasn't funny at all.
No.
So
no.
The first thing I have to ask... Stare in amazement. Like, you paid for this.
You paid to do
you
this.
Paid for
you
this.
Paid to do
this. Yeah.
Is he okay?
Well, a minute or two, I didn't think he was okay. He didn't say anything, and he was just laying there.
So did you... So he flies off. You fly off not the adrenaline,
the momentum took us,
momentum, inertia. You fly off over after him. Yep. Did you guys land next to each other?
I hit him and then flew past him.
You landed on him?
And then went over him, yeah. And then over the side of the mountain to the bottom.
And how far down?
25 feet maybe or so. Not far, but...
Were you hurt?
No. There was like 15, like I said, a lot of snow, so...
So how do we get this bear back?
Wait a minute. No. We can't get there yet. I want to know if he's this guy. I want to know if the guide's okay and where are his pants?
Well, his pants are hanging on the handlebar of the snowmobile.
Okay, why were his pants so loose?
Well, they weren't. There was just so
Imagine
much momentum.
Imagine the pressure if you're going 30 miles an hour and hit a dead stop.
Yeah. Okay, but first I'm thinking about shoes. What about these shoes?
Oh, he had his shoes on yet. There's no pants.
Oh, my. But was he hurt? Was he bleeding?
He wasn't bleeding. He had a huge, his leg just swelled up like crazy. So it was more of his leg.
His leg must have hit the handlebar.
And his ribs. Yeah. I think he got most of it on his upper thigh. But he did have some sore ribs. But he laid there for like 2 or 3 minutes, and he didn't really say much and wasn't moving. And then I kind of freaked out because I'm like, well, what am I going to do now? This guy's laying here. He's not saying anything.
And you have no GPS out there. You're out there by yourself in the middle of
the ocean. The only thing I know how to do is put a tourniquet on somebody, and that probably wouldn't have helped them. So.
And they're probably just, once they are both awake, just yelling and rushing at each other. So
was he knocked out?
That would freak me out as well.
No, he just was laying there. He just didn't really.
It just the two of you, or was there
someone? Was three of us, actually. There was the two guides and myself. But
did you shake him? Did you go over to him? Did you think at some point I might have to give CPR to this guy?
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking he was screwed because I have no medical training. So.
Well, tough luck.
I cannot.
See you later.
Holy cow. So he starts moving, and then what? It's not like you can't say to him, are you okay? He doesn't know what that
means.
Yeah,
the other guy made his way down, and I gave him my pants. So now I didn't have any, had some Helly Hansen rain gear type things on that I was wearing over my clothes to keep myself dry. And so I gave him those, and then he came to and just kind of just limped around a little bit, but shook it off. And, you know, he was 64 years old. He was a pretty, they're tough
cow,
people.
That is a tough, they're tough people. One tough Russian.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Wow. And so you get back on the snowmobile and keep going?
Well, we got her skinned out, and we skinned the bear out at the bottom of the hill there and packed it up and had some lunch and headed back.
How long was the ride back?
Probably 3 hours. I think we put on maybe 300 miles a day.
3 hours on a snowmobile. Yeah. That's a long way to go snowmobile. And did he have to seek medical treatment when he got back? Or?
No, he was just pretty bruised up and banged up. Pretty black and blue the next day.
You went
right to the vodka.
You could have died. You know that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's not, we're not messing around here. I mean, had you flown over each other or hit each other in the head when you landed, you both could have been... That could have been your final resting place in the middle of Esso, Russia, in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
He booked another trip to go out there.
John is going back to Russia within this same year, because clearly that was not a close enough brush with death.
That's what makes it fun.
Hey, Ben, tell me why... Tell me why you were hungry enough to eat raw bacon and what is up with
well,
that?
Well, I like to eat. That's
well,
no
so
secret.
Do I. Food's my favorite dish.
No, that was
but
more
sushi
of a
sushi grade. I call my limit at sushi grade bacon.
No, that was more of a mistake on my part and a misidentification of the food. There's cheese and crackers and sausage out on this platter, and I just thought it was a piece of Swiss looking type cheese because it was white. You know,
the bacon?
Yes. Yeah, that was raw. So I grabbed a piece and I threw it in my mouth. And the minute I put it in my mouth, I realized the texture was not cheese. So being a good sport, I just chewed it a couple times and swallowed it. And I said, what the heck is this? To the interpreter. And he says, oh, that's bacon. I said, well, we fry our bacon. And he says, oh, we eat it raw and it goes good with vodka, you know. And that's just the tradition because...
I mean, we have carnivore sandwiches, so...
Yeah, we had a lot of bacon at camp, but none of it was cooked.
I love cannibal sandwiches.
Cannibal, there we go.
I love cannibal sandwiches, and that is... Anastasia's nodding. I think she likes cannibal sandwiches, too. Which is the finest cut of beef, the very finest cut of the tenderloin, ground, and then put on rye bread with salt, pepper, and onions. And there's very little that I like more than that. That's an awesome Wisconsin tradition. But that is wholly and completely different than the raw stomach of a pig.
Well, it was smoked, so I mean...
Maybe it was.
Yeah,
was
maybe.
It?
Yeah. I'm still here.
So they ended up having raw bacon on the platter with cheese and crackers.
Correct.
Intentionally.
Did your stomachs all make it through this whole trip fairly well, both of you?
Yeah. I got an iron gut.
Well, obviously you have an iron gut. When we come back, we're going to wrap up these two Jamokes hunt in Russia, the far reaches of Russia, and lots more on Raised in Wisco. We'll be right back.
We'll get that buck if some of our teenage... We'll get that buck if some of our teenage...
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you...
And you could be me?
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
That's Kid Rockin, who, by the way, is a very big fan of hunting and cooking what he kills. So that's right up our alley here on Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish. That's me and alongside Danielle Fairman. Before the break, we had sore stomachs listening to John Miller and Ben Laskowski's account of their Russian bear hunt. Which ended up with a half-naked Russian flying through the Russian wilderness, and John flying right after him over the handlebars of the snow machine and landing on him.
Crushing.
Did you just about kill him when you landed on
him? I think so, Joe. I'm a 230, 6 foot, 230, and, probably going 25 miles an hour myself. Yeah.
Hey, John, you don't look a pound over 229, buddy.
Thanks.
I'm just saying. I'm just telling you. And then we got Ben, who's on the trip, and he's eating raw bacon. I mean, which they obviously served with the cheese and crackers. So a warning to everybody who ends up in the far reaches of Russia, just above the peninsula of Japan there. You may have raw bacon on the hors d'oeuvre plate. Now, me, if it was smoked, I'd go for it. I don't mind bacon a little rubbery. I really don't. I like bacon all the way from rubbery all the way to crispy. It's bacon. You can't really screw it up.
Still got
to
be cooked, though.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be smoked or something. Otherwise, you get that trichinosis issue.
Did you have any exciting no pants?
No, he's got a story that he almost died.
Well, I won't say almost died, but I certainly was a little freaked out for a second. Yes.
At which both of you could have died.
Right, right. I mean, I thoroughly believe, even though we had the language barrier going on, that we were pretty well damn lost, because I could tell by the look on his face, he did not know where he was. And all he did was...
So what is the look on a Russian's face?
Well, it's just kind of a blank, there's no confidence in his face. You can read people.
You can see. He kind of looking around like, where am I?
And,
there's no GPS.
Yeah, and the nervousness a little bit. He had a cell phone, but it was not getting reception where we were. So we were driving around kind of frantically. And I think he was trying to get reception to get kind of a bearings on his map or whatever. And at one point, he just gets off his snowmobile, pulls a pin on the sled, and takes off with his little dog and leaves me out in the middle of nowhere on top of this mountain. Yeah, he had a little dog with him.
So did he say, did he motion to you, you stay here?
I think he knew that I knew he was lost, and he just left. So I'm sitting there in the sled on top of this mountain, and I'm thinking, well, this might be it, it'll be a good way to check out, I guess. It's kind of pretty here, I literally listened to the snowmobile go off in the distance till it was quiet, and it was probably
that far.
Okay, yeah.
What time of the day is this?
It was midday, 1 o'clock. Okay. But I mean, I'm like, okay, I'm assuming he's trying to get reception, but now I don't hear him. So it was probably a half hour before he got back, and I slowly hear the whine of the snowmobile coming back, and I'm like, okay, he must still love me or something, And then I could tell he had confidence in his face. So he, we're in the wilds of Russia. These mountains are huge, just basically like Alaska,
Sure.
And it was beautiful, but it was definitely someplace you could easily get lost, And I'm thinking they would have found me eventually with a helicopter or something, but...
Really?
Yeah.
Do you really think there's going to be all that much excitement?
I would have just made an American flag in the snow.
To go find Ben Laskowski. Hey,
I got fans.
In the middle of Russia. I don't know if they're all getting together and saying, comrades, we got to go find Ben Laskowski.
But in the interim, Joel, I shot a huge-ass bear. John shot a huge-ass bear. And it was the...
Well...
One of the best hunting trips I ever had. I can't, because they're all good. I mean, but it was definitely the most exciting. It was one of the most exciting hunt trips. It was the most exciting hunt trip I've ever been on.
So what do we do with these bears after we bring them back?
Yeah, did you guys get to eat any of the bears while you were...
Well, the bears just got out of hibernation. Well, they just got out of hibernation, and there are parasites in them. There's worms in them. Okay. We did take some of the hindquarters, and they dried the meat for their dogs. You know, so, I mean, the meat didn't go to waste, you know.
Sure, good.
And we will be getting the hides and the skulls back. We're both getting full mounts.
Oh, they're beautiful. Yeah, I saw those bears. Yeah. They're absolute monsters. They are a thing of beauty. When you hold those giant, you know, brown bear paws up and see the
paw's bigger than my head. I mean, it's just gigantic, crazy. You know.
And he's got and folks, you can't see him, but Ben's got a big melon, so. Those paws are big, and I think what you just hit on the head there too. I try to live by this. You don't know what good is unless you've seen bad. You don't know a sunny day unless you've seen a rainy day. And the experiences that you have from this trip are literally the experiences of a lifetime. And I have never in my life, outside of maybe the birth of my children or my wedding day, I have never had experiences in my life like I have had in the outdoors to this day. One of the best experiences I ever had in my entire life was when my mom bugged my dad to take me on a boat, and I put a Rapala on the end of my little fishing rod and caught this big northern. You know, my dad was kind of a pessimistic German. Wow, what are you going to catch with that big lure? And I ended up catching this big northern, brought it home, and my mom meticulously took out the bones, and we cooked up the northern. Those experiences you have in the outdoors of Wisconsin and around the world, they are life-changing. And they turn you from somebody who's going to die someday and people say, yeah, you know, they were a great person, but, you know, I'm not sure what they did. So be the person who takes the chance and does. Be the person who takes an adventure. And you know what? That's one of the great things about living in this state. Adventure is around the corner. In Devil's Lake, it's in a cornfield next to the Piggly Wiggly. It's in the woods down the street. It's in the side of the subdivision. It's in the ponds of the subdivisions. And don't be afraid to say yes. And now you guys said yes to something that was fairly extreme. But that... That is an experience and an adventure that no one will be able to take away from you for the rest of your life. And that is the reason, from silent sports all the way to through shooting sports, through hunting and fishing, conservation, these great United States and other places in the world that God grants us in this United States the ability to visit and come back from to this great nation. And if you are not participating in that, you are missing out on life. Press the S button. I am telling you, the biggest thing very often that I tell people to make a trip happen, buy the plane ticket. Buy the plane ticket first, then find your accommodations, find your guide, find your hiking trail, find your river, find your stream, find your trout stream. Grab a rod, grab a reel, grab a pan. Make this life about experiencing everything else outside of your view. Because life does not happen on that 3x7-inch thing you hold in your hand. That's two dimensions. Life is three-dimensional. Go out there and grab it.
Preach.
Right,
preach,
Danielle?
Right. Right. And you are listening to Raised in Wisco. Those were words of wisdom by our host, Joel Clayfish. I don't know if they're wisdom,
but what a great week. Thanks very much to John Miller and Ben Laskowski.
Yes, thank you.
Danielle, thank you for your infectious laugh throughout the show today. I don't know what we'd do without it. It was great. You've been listening to Raised in Wisco. We'll see you next week on 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, The Show. Talking to the balls of the motion. Come on. With the top left back. Spend all my time in Hollywood.
SelectUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.